You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. This month in Kenya, five vultures were found still alive after they were illegally poisoned. And thanks to the quick thinking of one woman who is a vulture liaison officer for the Boise-based Peregrine Fund, the birds were rescued and they are slowly recovering. Now, this is not the first or the last of these types of retaliatory wildlife poisonings in southern Kenya. It works like this. Predators like lions or leopards attack livestock. The farmers react by poisoning their dead animals. The predators and endangered vultures come back to feed, and then they die from that poison. As you can imagine, it takes so many people and organizations to try and solve this problem, including the Peregrine Fund. Joining us in studio is Executive Vice President and Global Director for Conservation Strategy at the World Center Birds of Prey, is Dr. Munir Virani. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This is shocking for those of us who, I think, live more in an isolated environment in the sense of the Western culture. We're not out there with this type of predator and prey that you see in Kenya. So tell us, first off, why this happens. I mean, I know we explained it a little bit, but do people not understand the ripple effect of it?
Well, I think to get a better understanding of this, we must go maybe 15, 20, 30 years even. Human-wildlife conflict is not a new issue. But in East Africa and all of Africa, really, you know, the human population is growing rapidly. There's development changes, there's growth of infrastructure, energy developments. And what has happened is that pastoral communities like the Maasai, their lifestyles have been curtailed. Mm. So they have become a little more sedentary, and that has brought them directly into conflict with predators like lions and hyenas. Now, because they are not compensated for these losses if a lion attacks their livestock, they have to, you know, they have to put food at the table at the end of the day. And so it's very easy to just go out and buy a poison that is not intended for killing wildlife, but it's just so easy. So they will lace that same cow or sheep or goat that was killed by the lion in the hope that the same predator will come, die, and that'll get rid of the problem. But of course it doesn't, because the vultures come down and they die in their hundreds. As a consequence of this, vulture populations in Africa have declined by as much as 70% over the last three decades. Four species of which are now critically endangered, which means without conservation intervention, they're going to go extinct.
So talk to us a little bit about what happened with this particular poisoning, which happened November 13th.
Correct.
So similar situation that I'm assuming, but five vultures were found still alive.
Correct. So what the Peregrine Fund and the other partners in Africa have resolved to do is, let's face it, we're not going to end the problem. Poisoning is not going to get stopped. But what we can do is mitigate those impacts. So we develop teams of rapid responders, first responders. The vulture problem is not really a vulture problem. It's a lion problem. It's a predator problem. So we develop these partnerships with people working on lion projects, on hyena projects, on various other animals. We provide the tools and the training to get them to be first responders at a poisoning incident. They decontaminate the site. They collect the forensics. They make sure that if they find two or three or four dead vultures, their goal is to make sure that the 200 vultures that are circling above do not get down.
So the individual that found them, she is a vulture liaison officer for the Peregrine Fund. So is she boots on the ground then in Kenya? Because the Peregrine Fund is based in Boise. You can't get from Boise to Kenya, I would think, quick enough to save these animals.
No, that is very correct. So we have developed from here. So I used to run the Africa program. I was based in Kenya. In fact, I'm Kenyan. Kenyan was home for me. So we developed these teams. So Valerie Nasoita, the girl who was boots on the ground, she's one of five liaison officers that are based all across southern Kenya in these areas that have the highest likelihood of poisoning. So she engages with local communities. She has assigned with her two or three different vulture scouts that are made up of people from different projects, and they really respond to these incidences. So when she got that call from we have a vulture protection network that is made up of a WhatsApp group. They're close to 60 people, and they collect the intelligence on the ground to thwart and, you know, reduce these poisoning.
So when these poisonings happen, we know that, as you said, in the hundreds of vultures are dying, hyena are dying. Is it doing what these individuals want? I mean, is it also killing the predators, the lions, things like that?
On very few occasions, it does. But it doesn't make a difference because you kill one lion, you know, there are other lions within that pride who, you know, they know where the livestock are. They know where the people are. They're grazing their cattle. You know, it's just a big problem with you've got more lions on the ground, you've got more hyenas, and you've got more people with more livestock. And tourism has, you know, a big part of tourism has contributed to that. Developing wildlife conservancies has made sure that people like the Maasai have benefited financially. So what do? They buy more cattle, which then compounds the problem.
So as you said, this problem isn't going to go away. So at this point, is it trying to mitigate it as well as you possibly can?
It's making the best of a situation that's gone bad. But in addition to mitigating it, you know, we are developing the awareness amongst the people. We are developing conservation leaders made up of the Maasai. We have a Maasai student, Eric Oleresson, who's doing a PhD study, and he's a leader within the community. He has a lot of respect. And that is what, you know, our long-term goal is to develop and invest in conservation leaders all across the African continent, where they become the voices not only for vultures but other birds of prey and the other wildlife. And, you know, over the last three years, the impact of these rapid response teams on the ground has had a significant impact in reducing the number of poisonings taking place.
Isn't that interesting, though, that it always seems to take a cultural shift of some sort? So getting buy-in from the Maasai and people like Eric, as you mentioned, that has to be a critical component to this ever actually changing.
There is no question. Engaging local communities, making them the champions, giving them the ownership, empowering them to take, you know, to be leaders and custodians of their own wildlife, that's the only way conservation is going to work around the world. And that is a big philosophy of the Peregrine Fund.
We're talking with Dr. Munir Virani. He is the Executive Vice President and Global Director for Conservation Strategy at the World Center for Birds of Prey, talking about these poisonings that happen in Kenya. So what happens when vultures disappear? As you said, there are four types of vultures that are critically endangered.
So, I mean, let's face it, you know, vultures are not, you know, they're not beautiful or anything, but they...
Right, they're not your friends necessarily, but they do a job.
They provide vital ecosystem services, and they provide it for free. They recycle nutrients, they consume carcasses that would otherwise decompose and spread diseases, and they have great cultural value as well. I mean, you know, people who come to the Maasai Mara and the Serengeti, where 1.5 million wildebeest come across, they account for 70% of all the dead animals over there. Without the vultures, you would have tourists walking around with gas masks, and you could imagine the smell and the stench.
Well, you wouldn't have tourists anymore.
You would not have tourists, no.
So there is that kind of domino effect then, and sometimes we don't think at that level. You know, and is that part of it too? Is it's not just changing the culture of the Maasai, but having those people even here in the United States understanding this effect?
Absolutely. You know, people think Africa is all about lions and elephants and rhinos. You know, there's the dung beetle, there's the antlion, and they're the vultures. You know, there's the sparrow, there's the butterfly. We have to take the entire biodiversity in its totality, so that we understand that every disappearance of every species has a ripple effect on the ecosystem, and we're not even aware of that.
So for someone who's listening right now, what can the average Idahoan do to make a difference?
Well, get to know the Maasai Mara Serengeti ecosystem, visit that country, get to meet our leaders, get to meet our conservation leaders, understand about Maasai culture, conservation is not easy. It requires funding. It requires support. You know, help with your support in any way that you can. Visit our website, theperegrinefund.org, and come and visit us. We have vultures up at our World Center for Birds of Prey, and they provide the awareness and the education that people will need. And it's a great center. You know, we'll be celebrating 50 years next year. And, you know, we want you to be part of our celebration.
Well, I have to tell you, when my oldest was in fourth grade, it was one of his favorite field trips.
Fantastic.
To go out there and see to see the World Center of Birds of Prey. It is really a phenomenal facility, but even more so, how you affect change throughout the world.
Thank you. Yes, so we are a big part of our global vision is, you know, we have domestic programs. We work on California condors, Aplomata falcons, gerfalcons in Alaska. But we're expanding. We're working in the Caribbean. We're trying to save 2 million acres of rainforest in the Darien province of Panama, which is home of the harpy eagle. We're working in Asia. We're working in Nepal, in the Africa region. And what we really want to do, our long-term goal is to have raptor bird of prey champions in every single country around the world.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and talking more about this and just opening our eyes to this situation. We've been talking with Dr. Munir Virani. He is the Executive Vice President and Global Director for Conservation Strategy at the World Center for Birds of Prey. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters.